Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. September 10th, there was a debate between former President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. And although this is already old news, there needs to be a debriefing. Christians should be able to discern all the lies, the obfuscation, the misdirection, all the spin, without all of the political bias. What's amazing is that those who support the Republican policy platform are saying that Kamala lied 30, 40, 50 times. Trump told the truth. While those who support the Democrat policy platform are saying Trump continually lied and Kamala told the truth. Here's a CNN response to the debate. Quote, Trump again delivered a staggering quantity and variety of false claims, some of which were egregious lies about topics including abortion, immigration, and the economy. Harris was far more accurate than Trump. CNN's preliminary count found just one false claim from the vice president. If you don't get anything else from the debate, just be amazed that a person's worldview determines who they believe is telling a lie and who's telling the truth. People are not objective. People really can't be objective. There's no real objectivity in the sense of neutrality, given the fact that either one has God or one has self as the source of authority. Determining what is right and wrong will change based upon one's source of authority. And of course, this is how it works in the spiritual realm. A person's prior worldview, which is chosen based upon their own moral choice, determines whether one believes the words of God or the words of Satan. In Jesus' day, whether one saw Jesus as a Messiah or whether one saw him as a fraud, it's just all dependent upon one's worldview, one's chosen source of authority. As Jesus said to unbelievers, you do not believe because you do not have God's word abiding in you. John chapter 5, verse 38. For example, those who value their own autonomy first will believe abortion is morally right. Like Harris said in the debate, to tell a woman she can't abort her child is immoral. But those who put the life of others above themselves and above their conveniences, and who believe only God has the authority over life, thou shalt not murder, will believe abortion is morally wrong. It all depends on one's core beliefs concerning one's source of authority, whether God or self. Another example, those who believe people should be allowed to follow whatever desires they have in their heart will believe promoting LGBTQ is promoting morality. But those who believe people's desires can be sinful and perverted and believe that our standard of behavior ought not to be based upon our desires but upon the moral law of God, they will believe a society must reject LGBTQ sexual deviance. So what's really going on in the debate was two worldviews in conflict. And since neither candidate discussed the core worldview differences, the source of authority, it resulted in an elementary school argument. You're a liar. No, you're the liar, but I said it first. Neither candidate was the adult in the room explaining the foundational moral differences between the position on the right and the position on the left. Three times, Kamala said of Trump, you're going to hear a bunch of lies coming from this fellow. Well, they were lies for her, but were they really lies? When Trump said that the courts didn't address the election fraud because the judges claimed Trump didn't have standing, was that a lie? When Trump blamed the increase in crime on immigration, was that a lie? When Trump said Harris was the border czar, was that a lie? You know, maybe Biden didn't use that specific title, but all of the leftist media called her by that title. And by its very definition, Biden did give her the task of managing the border. But according to CNN, all of those were lies. Yet there is factual data supporting Trump's claims, but that data doesn't fit the way CNN interprets the data. So judging the debate really becomes a matter of perspective, perception, emphasis, the way people see the world. Often judging according to appearances, not righteous judgment. Indicting the person by catching them in a word that can be twisted to mean something else. Isaiah chapter 29, indicting the person in the right with meaningless arguments. For example, Trump spoke about Harris as being for radical abortion. Up to and even after the moment of birth, if the child ends up in an unsuccessful abortion. Trump described it as an execution. And Trump referenced the former governor of Virginia saying, quote, the baby will be born and we will decide what to do with the baby. In other words, we can execute the baby. And then Trump went on further with a very mangled explanation. The moderator, Lindsay Davis, interjected, there is no state in this country where it's legal to kill a baby after it's born. Well, first, it's obvious that Donald Trump was speaking about babies born in botched abortions, not all babies. And second, it is legal to withhold aid and hence kill a baby that is born in an abortion procedure in three states, New York, Illinois, and Minnesota. And I believe there's between 25 and 30 states that protect the life of a child born in abortion. In fact, it was Harris's own running mate, Governor Walz, who removed the legal protections previously in place for babies born in abortion. And in 2019, the U.S. Senate held a cloture vote on the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act. The bill failed, with 44 Democrats opposing the legislation, including now Vice President Kamala Harris, who was a senator at the time. And in 2020, the bill failed again, with Harris voting against it a second time. So she does believe in killing babies after they're born. The problem was Trump was not prepared to share that truth about Harris's record. If he were, at that point and many other points, he would have won the debate. But here's the point. The left and the moderator believed that Trump was lying because they misrepresented what he was referring to. They even defined the words such as baby and born and alive different than pro-lifers. And if they were appalled and disgusted by abortion, they wouldn't have heard what Trump said the way they heard it. But because the left supports abortion, they read into Trump's statements what they wanted to hear. And the whole debate was like this. What was considered a lie and what was considered the truth all depended upon one's worldview, one's political ideology. Now, the biblical prophets would often condemn the religious and the political leaders of their day for their lies. Jeremiah 9:3, they bend their tongue like their bow. Lies, not truth, prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Isaiah 59, your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously. No one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Isaiah 59:13, transgressing and denying the Lord and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away. Truth has stumbled in the streets, and uprightness cannot enter. Now, when the prophets spoke about lies, they were mainly referring to worldview lies, not individual falsehoods like, I didn't spend money on such and such a project, or I didn't say such and such. Although those lies were certainly in the mix. The lies the prophets were primarily referring to were lies such as, we are good people, and child sacrifice is not murder. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 35, yet you say I'm innocent of shedding innocent blood. Jeremiah 8, that Babylon will not invade Israel, and the temple of God will never be destroyed. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11, they heal the brokenness of the daughters of my people superficially, saying peace, peace, but there is no peace. Jeremiah 14, 13, but ah, Lord God, I said, look at the prophets, they're telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. These lies were false ideologies, false hopes, false theological lies, false views of God, like the system of Marxism, or feminism, or pro-abortion, or queer theory. Those are lies. They're lies based upon one's broader worldview concerning what is right and wrong. And such lies cannot be directly fact-checked except through divine revelation, written in natural revelation. So the false prophets would call Jeremiah a liar because he came with God's standards of righteousness, which they didn't believe in, so they considered it a lie. And Jeremiah would call the false prophets liars because they promoted the big satanic lie, paganism, a pagan worldview. Now, all of the other factual lies were certainly there, and they were simply a way to support the bigger worldview lie. And the way information and data were interpreted was based upon those bigger worldview lies. It was the worldview lies in the debate that were the bigger significant lies. The Roman chapter 1 lie. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie. The Revelation 22:15 lie. Everyone who loves and practices the lie. Now, in the debate, the moderators violated the terms of the debate and interjected their own opinions and fact-checking at least 4 times against Trump and never once against Harris. And there were plenty of clear falsehoods that they could have stopped Harris on. Her claim that police died on January 6th. Her claim that Trump said there are good people on both sides. Her claim that Trump said there would be a bloodbath in the 2024 election. Her claim that Trump was against IVF. But the moderators freely corrected Donald Trump so that Trump had to not just debate Harris, but also Lindsey Davis and David Muir. Now, it would be one thing if their fact checks were correct, but the irony was that every single one of their fact checks were proven to be lies, so they lied just as much as Harris. The first erroneous fact check, I already pointed out, Lindsey Davis claiming that there is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born, that's false. In botched abortions, it's legal in 3 states. The second fact check was Trump's statement that thousands of Haitian immigrants who have been shipped into Springfield were eating people's dogs and cats. They're eating the pets. Now, this was a news story that had just broken the day before, and most people didn't know about it, so Trump shouldn't have even referenced it. Plus, it is not the major problem with these immigrants in Springfield. And I'll get around to discussing Trump's mistakes in the debate in a moment. But David Muir responded, I just want to clarify here. You bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did contact the city manager. He told us that they had no credible reports of pets or specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals in the immigrant community. So Muir is telling the truth concerning what the city manager said, but it's not the truth of what's happening in Springfield. Anyone can find someone who claims the opposite of what's really happening. Muir is quoting one government employee and ignoring all the other public testimony. So in this, Muir is not fact-checking, but trying to prove Trump wrong by quoting one person. And Trump did a good job in correcting Muir by pointing out, of course, that's what the city manager is going to say to cover himself, but listen to the people. The third fact check, Trump said crime was up. David Muir interjected, President Trump, you know, the FBI says that overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. And so Trump has to debate David Muir and tell him that it's been widely reported and it's been known for some time now, and it's been uncovered that the FBI report was deliberately misleading because the crime rates of 30 cities were excluded from the report, and all other legitimate reports show that crime is up. David Muir apparently doesn't read fact checks from conservative media. The fourth fact check. After Trump said there is so much proof that he did not legitimately lose to Joe Biden in the 2020 election, Muir responded, we should just point out here as clarification, 60 cases in front of many judges, many of them Republicans, looked at it and said there was no widespread fraud. Well, this is a talking point Harris and the Democrats have used, but Muir took Harris's side and said it for her. And Trump had to correct Muir because these judges did not rule in any legal sense that there was no widespread fraud. The case was never tried. They simply said they would not take the case, mostly on the pretext of Trump not having standing. The courts didn't want to touch the issue. So those were the major false fact checks. And there were plenty of other biased comments and loaded questions from the moderators. The moderator, Lindsay Davis, later admitted that ABC planned to fact check Trump because, quote, they did not want a repeat of what happened in the last debate, wherein Trump was given free rein and the moderators limited themselves to asking questions and enforcing time limits, unquote. So this time, moderators wanted to join the debate and correct Trump. They had to refute what they believed were Trump's lies. However, the legitimacy of Trump's statements were determined by their ideology, not the facts. So I listened to the debate and then read the transcript. And the amazing thing is that if you read the transcript, Trump won the debate. But if you listen to the debate, the tone, the perceptions make it seem as if Kamala won. And it's amazing how our perceptions are influenced by aspects that are emotionally based, not fact-based. Anyway, I underlined at least 40 lies coming from Harris, and here they are. As I go through them, ask yourself, what is really going on in these statements? First lie. She said, I'm actually the only person on stage that has a plan. Well, that's really just a ridiculous comment. Of course, Trump has a plan. She might not like the plan, but it's a plan. Just go to his website. It's called Agenda 47. Line number two, Harris said, Trump's sales tax would be 20%. But Trump doesn't plan to have a national sales tax. Harris is mischaracterizing and lying about Trump's plan for tariffs, as if they're a sales tax, rather than a boom for American businesses. It's the way Democrats can find fault with Trump's tariffs. Line number three, Trump makes middle-class people pay for tax cuts for billionaires. Not true. Trump, during his term, cut taxes for the middle class. Line number four. Trump left us the worst public health crisis in a century. You know, however, it's clear that Trump did not leave us COVID, as if that's something he could give or take. Notice Harris misrepresents the situation to blame Trump for COVID. COVID left us the health crisis, not the president. Line number five. Trump has the playbook of lies and grievances. It's well known that the Democrat Party is known for being the party of grievances. Line number six. Trump has a plan called Project 2025. And that lie has been debunked even by the left. Line number seven. His economic plan is all about tax breaks for the richest people. False. Trump plans to lower the taxes for middle class. Line number eight. Trump has more interest in defending himself than he has in looking out for you. Well, how does she know his motives? I'll discuss more of this in a moment. Line number nine. He ended up selling American chips to China. That's false. Line number 10. Trump's abortion ban makes it criminal for a doctor or nurse to provide health care. That's a lie, because abortion is not health care. It's murder. Line number 11. Trump is telling women what to do with their bodies. Not true. Trump is telling women what they ought to do with their babies' bodies. Line number 12. Pregnant women suffering a miscarriage are being denied care. Line number 13, Trump will sign a national abortion ban. And that's false. The Supreme Court has determined that according to the Constitution, the authority rests with the states. And Trump has already denied this claim. Line number 14, Trump has denied people IVF treatments. That's false. Line number 15, I'm the only person on stage who has prosecuted transnational criminal organizations. That's not true. Trump has enforced and passed such legislation. Line number 16, Donald Trump went on the phone to call up folks in Congress to kill the Democrat border bill. That was a rumor on the left, not a fact. Line number 17, Trump prefers to run on a problem instead of fixing a problem. Well, that's not true. He does prefer to fix problems, such as wanting to fix the open border problem. Line number 18, at his rallies, you will not hear him talk about your needs and your dreams. Well, I've been to his rallies, and he does talk about my needs and my dreams. So she's lying about the needs and the dreams of the American people. Line number 19, Trump was prosecuted for national security crimes. Not true. He is prosecuted with made-up charges by his political opponents. Line number 20, the Supreme Court ruled that Trump is immune from any misconduct. That's untrue. That was not the Supreme Court's ruling. Line number 21, Trump wants to terminate the Constitution of the United States. Now she's getting desperate and telling real whoppers. Line number 22, Trump would weaponize the Department of Justice against his political enemies, which is actually a strange accusation, given the fact that it's well reported that this is what the Democrats have been doing to Trump for the last 8 years. This is actually a political strategy and technique to accuse your opponents of what, in fact, you are doing. It muddies the water. It deflects accusations. It confuses the public. Line number 23, I made it clear in 2020 that I will not ban fracking. Even CNN pointed out that she said she would ban fracking and that in 2020, she never said she would not ban fracking. Line number 24, Trump was handed $400 million on a silver platter, which is not the amount he inherited from his father. Kamala is just quoting leftist opinion pieces. Line number 25, the president of the United States incited a violent mob to attack our nation's capital. Yet nothing Trump said incited violence. This was the corrupt behavior of a few individual bad actors. Even the Democrats have a few bad actors at their rallies. And the Times, the Republicans, claimed that the Democrat politicians incited riots in the summer of 2020. The Democrats were offended even by the suggestion. Line number 26. Kamala repeated the lie that President Trump said that the Charlottesville white supremacists were fine people. When in fact, in the very next sentence, Trump said he was not talking about the white supremacists. Line number 27, she repeated the lie that Trump said the 2024 election will be a bloodbath, to imply that Trump supporters will pick up arms, when it was clear that Trump was talking about the demise of the auto industry. But just like the leftist media, Harris selectively misquotes Trump, taking statements out of context to paint a negative picture of Trump, and that's lying. But what I believe we're seeing in this is that these people so believe that Trump is evil, they assume this is what he must have meant by those words. So his actual words are misinterpreted through their bias. So they believe they are telling the truth about Trump, the words that he actually meant to say. But still, that's lying about your opponent. Line number 28. World leaders are laughing at Trump. Really? Anyone can say that about any president. And which world leaders? Line number 29. Trump exchanged love letters with Kim Jong. Line number 30. Trump said of Putin, he can do whatever he wants. Totally taken out of context because Trump said Putin can do anything he wants because of Biden's policy. Number 31, dictators and autocrats are rooting for Trump. Line number 32, they can manipulate Trump with flattery and favors. Line number 33, Trump is consistently weak on national security. Line number 34, Trump would settle the war in Ukraine because he would give up. Line number 35, dictators would eat Trump for lunch. Line number 36, Trump invited the Taliban to talks because he doesn't appreciate the role and responsibility of the presidency. Line number 37, Trump left them with a terrible deal. That's why they had to leave Afghanistan as they did. Line number 38, Trump uses race to divide America. Line number 39, I bring a sense of optimism about what we can do instead of always disparaging the American people. Line number 40, extreme weather events prove there's climate change when in fact that's a falsehood. The left refuses to do the research because it doesn't agree with their beliefs. There's been less extreme weather events over the last 10, 15, 25 years. Line number 41, there are no American soldiers in combat zones. So let's stop here. What do we see as the bigger story in all of these falsehoods? It's not so much facts, but ideology, worldview, moral perceptions concerning right and wrong. And the same falsehoods could be said about the Democrats, that they divide, that they use race to divide, that they root for dictators. But they would deny every charge. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Now, concerning Donald Trump, we again saw in this debate that yes, Trump takes a conservative stance on many of the issues, but he's not the best communicator. Tulsi Gabbard and Congressman Gates were supposed to prepare Trump for the debate. Either they did a poor job or Trump ignored their advice. You know, first, always begin by directly answering the question. Trump would sometimes get around to answering the question, and Harris would almost always never answer the question. And if Trump would have answered the question directly and immediately, he could have completely thrown Harris off and defeated her by accusing her of not answering the questions. Any debater knows that if you don't answer the questions, you lose the debate. You lose the audience. And your opponent can be made out to be one who hides their positions. Second, every time Harris impugned Trump's motives, which she did continually, saying he doesn't care about you, he's only interested in the rich, Trump had the opportunity to knock the ball out of the park. Any debater knows, never impugn the motives of your opponent. Never resort to character assassination, because your opponent can then turn on you and legitimately accuse you of ad hominem arguments and make you look really mean and petty, as if you're using personal character assassinations to avoid the issues, and that those character assassinations are subjective and can be said by anyone. Trump should have gone after her for her methods of debating and her flip-flopping. But Trump took the bait and tried to defend himself against the character attacks rather than demeaning her for using such silly attacks. Third, Trump should have been better prepared to answer the questions with facts and dates and quotes. Trump was generally prepared, but not enough. Now, there are some who are claiming on the right that ABC gave Kamala the questions beforehand. But everyone knew the questions beforehand. They were the same questions as the last debate: the economy, the war in Ukraine, immigration, abortion, January 6th, and racism. Anyone could have predicted those questions. So in short, the poor debate performance on both sides was simply a lack of wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 17. The words of the wise heard in quietness are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. We heard a lot of shouting of rulers among fools. Remember how Jesus answered his opponents? He shamed his opponents, never lost a debate. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Now for me, the debate was just another reminder that Trump is not the perfect candidate, but he just happens to be the one we have right now on the conservative side. I fully expect to be disappointed by Trump, whether he wins or loses, just the same way that even all of the good kings of Israel disappointed at some point. God's people were disappointed with King David, with King Jehoshaphat, even with King Josiah. None were perfect in their administrations. They all had bad policies. They all misspoke. They all didn't fully follow the law of God. Hence, we're told in Scripture, Psalm 146:3, do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. Psalm 118, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Isaiah chapter 2, stop regarding man, whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? Psalm 62:9, men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. Donald Trump has feet of clay. Only God is our Savior. Now, as far as debate results, it's not really who performs better, but who moves the public. Trump had enough warnings in the debate concerning illegal immigration destroying our country, concerning the current Biden-Harris policy of using Ukraine as a proxy to go to war with Russia, which could result in World War III. Fear drives elections. Fear of war, fear of economic collapse, fear of crime. So there's really no way to predict the outcome of this election, regardless of the polls, because over the next few months, news of economic changes, news of war, news of domestic threats could change everything. And who knows what will become of the general mood of the country next month. You know, it's amazing how a certain mood can fall over a country and how that mood determines an election. And this is how God puts into office the man he wants to rule, either for blessing or curse. Psalm 75, not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Thanks for listening. Stay in the Word, and may Jesus Christ reign.